This is Game, Set, Match Kentucky, Episode 7, recorded November 12, 2018, entitled, You Get What You Pay For. Hey everybody, it's time for episode 7 of Game Set Match Kentucky, where we talk about all things related to the Central Kentucky Tennis Series and maybe a whole lot more that you never asked for. This is November 12th, 2018. I'm Chris Godby. I'm the chairman and one of the founders of the CKTS, where the lines are good and sandbagging is for golf. I'm here in the studio at the CKTS headquarters in Russell Springs, Kentucky, and if you listen carefully, you can hear my children upstairs. I don't know if they're wrestling. I don't know if they're riding bicycles in the house, but they're Okay, it was a laugh, not a cry. Okay, good. But anyway, so if there's an interruption, you'll never hear it because I'll edit it out. But anyway, back with me today from Bowling Green, Kentucky, is one of our tournament directors, as well as the tennis coach at South Warren High School. By day, he is the program director of a talk radio station in Bowling Green, where he hosts a morning talk show on Talk 104.1 FM and 9:30 AM. So he's a professional, but today he's working for free. Thank you, Mr. Chad Young.
You get what you pay for.
Well, I'm certainly glad to have you. I'm glad that this worked out to where we could do this today on a rainy, cool observance of Veterans Day. Actually, yesterday was Veterans Day, but it's being observed today. And lucky me, as a school teacher and sort of a government employee, I guess, if you will, I got the day off. And so salute to the troops.
Wow, they actually canceled school today?
In my district, they did. I think this is only the first or second time my district has missed school for Veterans Day in my 24 years.
I didn't heard anything like that. Hey, you could have some snow later this week, too.
Yeah, I know that. And I kind of look forward to that in a way. And I kind of want to keep on rolling because we're in a pretty good rhythm at Russell County High School. We're doing some great things this semester. And I just kind of want to keep on trucking.
Well, I don't get snow days, so it doesn't really affect me. I'm expected to be there whether it snows or not.
Do you ever get to do the show from home?
It's happened a couple times. You know, I mean, I've lived in Kentucky for a little more than 20 years, and for the first 17 of those, 16 or 17, I lived in Bowling Green, and then we moved actually to Allen County, just across the county line. About 4 years ago, and literally as soon as we moved out here, which would have been the spring of 2015, is when we got like 12 inches of snow or something like
right.
that. And mm-hmm. then the next winter, we got another, you know, 10 to 12 inches of snow. So all these years where we hadn't got really any snow in this area, and then as soon as I moved to where I didn't have a 5 to 10 minute drive to work, we got all this snow. But yeah, that first year, I definitely did the show from home a couple of times.
I like being at home. I like working from home. I wish I could teach school from home. And I know one day that's going to happen for teachers down the road. It's going to be very virtual, I'm sure, coming up.
But it's so much different, though, doing a show remotely. I don't really like it. So, you know, it's nice to do it in your pajamas, but you're still working.
Absolutely. Well, today on this episode of Game Set Match Kentucky, mainly we're going to spend our time looking at the final point standings for the 2018 CKTS season. We do have a little bit of things coming up in tennis in other parts of the state that we'll announce also. We'd like to thank our sponsor for Game Set Match Kentucky, LakeNet Media Web Hosting. If you or your business is interested in sponsoring this podcast, please send an email to info@gamesetmatchky.com. So let's get right to the final 2018 point standings for the Central Kentucky Tennis Series season. And before we get started in those, by the way, one more shout out to John Miller from Breckenridge County, who has, for the last few years, has tracked our point standings, and we're very grateful to him for what he does in helping us keep our season standings rolling. Chad, I'll start with men's C doubles. And we had a tie because they're partners and they played all the tournaments together. They played all eight of the tournaments together. And it's a father and son of Charles and James Roberts from Columbia. Congratulations to them for winning men's C doubles.
I'll follow that up with men's C singles, and it was Charles Roberts taking home extra hardware as he won the men's C singles as well.
And he's going to have a little bit more hardware to take home, but we'll get to that in a little bit. In mixed B doubles, the champions, the co-champions, were father and daughter, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, Lex Lindsay and Hallie Lindsay, who win the championship of the mixed B doubles division. They're the male winner and the female winner, and the male runner-up and the female runner-up are Craig Overstreet and Abigail Crew.
Fortunate for them, they wrapped up the season title before injury set in, because they didn't play the last couple events, I know, because Lex was dealing with an injury. We were supposed to play together in Columbia, and we couldn't play because of scheduling issues when they rescheduled that. And then he was injured, so we couldn't play Somerset either.
I see.
In women's B doubles, Amber Wolf barely edged out Chatty Lee and Marvetta Overstreet with 12 points. Chatty and Marvetta finished a half point behind with 11.5 points, and Amber won all three tournaments that she played to wrap up the title.
Exactly, a tie at the runner-up spot, and it was very close behind the champion, Amber Wolf. In men's B doubles, the champion is John Silas Newton, and a tie for second place, a few points back, are Larry Kohler and Craig Overstreet.
In women's B singles, Amber Wolf was the winner with 9 points.
In men's B singles, John Silas Newton is the champion, and June Tomioka is the runner-up.
In girls' 12 singles, Ainsley Stovall was the winner. She finished with 15 points. Arden Dethridge had 7.5 points.
In boys' 12 singles, Gary Zhang finished with 15 points, edging out Mason Baldwin, who finished with 14 points as the runner-up of boys' 12 singles.
Yeah, he won Somerset. That was big. He overtook Mason in that last tournament of the season.
That's right.
In girls' 15 singles, Sarah Newton, I believe, is a back-to-back winner. She finished with 21 points over Jai Garris, who had 12 points, but I think Sarah won the girls' 15s last year as well.
You may be right. I'll have to look that up. I don't have that information handy in front of me, unfortunately. In boys 12 and under, I'm sorry, boys 15 and under singles, the champion was Dylan Dethridge, and the runner-up was Owen Hunley.
In mixed 18 doubles, obviously two winners. We had a male winner and a female winner. Keegan Christensen was the male winner with 12 points. Ethan Whalen finished second on the boys' side with 11. Connor Gallagher was the girls' winner with 11 points, 2 points better than Ella Birch with 9.
In girls' 18 and under doubles, the champion, the player with the most points, was Haley Woosley, and the runner-up in that division was Bailey Richardson.
Another repeat winner in boys' 18 doubles, Dylan Dethridge was the winner with 13 points. Lucas McFall finished in second with 11 points.
In girls' 18 and under singles, the champion again is Connor Gallagher, and the runner-up in girls' 18 and under singles is Courtney Hayes.
Boys' 18 singles, Ethan Whalen was the winner with 19 points. The runner-up was John Carter Russell.
In men's 40 and over singles, Campbellsville's own W.D. McCubbin wins that title with 15 points, and in second place was Orly Suazo.
In men's 40 doubles, there was a tie for first place. Steve Humphreys and Don Humphreys were the winners with 16 points.
Father and son, but we call them
the brothers.
The Humphreys brothers, yes, exactly. In mixed open doubles, one of the Humphreys brothers makes an appearance here. He is the male mixed open doubles champion to his partner Susan Hadley as the female mixed open doubles champion. In the runner-up spots, we have Lacey Lee and Justin Martin.
Women's open doubles, Cheryl Hensel and Trina Ricker were the winners with 22 points.
In men's open doubles, the champion was Dwayne Coulter, and the runner-up was his most-of-the-time doubles partner, Jackson Grover.
In women's open singles, it looks like we had the women's open singles make in two of the tournaments. Emily Novak was the winner with 7 points.
And that's all it took, and she takes the title. And in men's open singles, the champion is Jackson Grover with 12 points, and the runner-up in men's open singles is Hamza Sheikh. Also, we would be remiss not to mention the awards that went to people that played all 8 of our tournaments this past summer. And at the awards ceremony a couple of Sundays ago, I mentioned that in some cases, it's almost more difficult to play all 8 of these tournaments than it is to win a division.
Because I would agree with that.
The distance that they, you know, that they're spread out all over central and south central Kentucky, and you know, just the fact that, you know, summertime is busy for a lot of people, and half of our tournaments kind of happen after school starts back and other things get going on for a lot of families. So to get to play all 8 tournaments is quite a challenge, but we did have six individuals who managed to do this, and they were in alphabetical order: Jonathan Faust, Larry Kohler, Trina Rickard, Eric Smith, Charles Roberts, and James Roberts. And congratulations to you, because that's an outstanding accomplishment, really, as we said, to get to do that and to get to play all of those tournaments. And so, by the way, I mentioned the awards ceremony that was back on November 4th. It was a beautiful day that day, and we had a good turnout at Campbellsville on the campus of Campbellsville University, where we do our awards ceremony every season. We had a good little gathering, and many of the people that we named today that received champion and runner-up awards, the majority of them were in attendance, and so we were great to have them there. And if you've been to our website lately, cktstour.com, you can see a little photo gallery from that event with us, most of the award winners and their awards, and then we have a big group photo that we took of them also. So it was a great time, and thank you to everyone who came to that. Let's take a look at some upcoming events in tennis in Kentucky. And, of course, the CKTS season has completed. We'll be back in action next summer, and we're definitely looking forward to that. I will go ahead and say that the 2019 calendar for the Central Kentucky Tennis Series tournaments is mostly completed, yet it's still under construction. There are some conversations we still need to have to kind of line up our schedule just the way we need it to make it the best for everybody. And to, of course, have a rainout week in between all of them, you know, just in case, because we've seen already this year how that definitely comes into play, right, Chad?
That is exactly right.
So it's beneficial that we do that. Anyway, so we do have some other tennis events coming up, though. And when we do get the CKTS season for 2019 finalized, we will publish it right away on our website at cktstour.com. So there's a wheelchair tennis tournament and party on November 18th. So that's coming up on this coming Sunday from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern time at Bass Rudd. That's the tennis complex on the U of L campus, isn't it, Chad?
That is correct.
Okay. The registration deadline for that is tomorrow, November 13th, but all levels are welcome. And there's another upcoming junior tournament. The Louisville Tennis Club is having a Thanksgiving Junior Classic on November 23rd through the 25th, and the deadline for that is next Sunday, November 18th. And USTA Kentucky always has something going on, so to keep up with them, visit KentuckyTennis.com or follow them on Facebook and Twitter at USTA Kentucky with the word Kentucky all the way spelled out. And anyone who has tennis events that they want us to mention on this podcast, we would be happy to. And you can send those to info@gamesetmatchky.com.
I have a stupid question, maybe.
Yeah, go ahead.
So does everyone who – can people who aren't that don't have a disability play in a – in a wheelchair tennis tournament?
That's not for me to answer. Okay. I don't know.
Ask the expert somewhere.
You better direct that question to them. Honestly, I don't even want to go there, really. I don't know. But speaking of not wanting to go there, let's challenge the call.
All right.
Okay, because sometimes these are uncomfortable questions. This one's not really. It's a simple question. It's asking, how do players get moved up or bumped up or promoted? As we like to call it, promoted. They're getting promoted from the C division to the B division, or they're getting promoted from the B division to open. We call it a promotion. We put a positive spin on it because we feel like they've accomplished something at the level they had been playing, and now we're promoting them up to, you know, challenge them further at a higher level. So at the end of the season, how do they get promoted?
Well, this is probably a question better for you, but I'll just say that one thing is, if your USTA rating changes, then you're going to be bumped up, because I would say most tournament directors will maybe look at things like that if they're not really sure. But I mean, if you play USTA and you get bumped up to a 4-0. You're supposed to no longer be able to play in B. And I think probably the same thing goes if you get bumped up to a 3-5, then you're not supposed to be able to play C anymore. So that would be the easy thing. And then, you know, tournament directors will have discussions about players throughout the season, because we can kind of see if somebody is playing at a level that maybe doesn't indicate their true level. So I think there have been players who have been maybe bumped mid-season, but for the most part, I mean, I know my involvement has been, you know, when the tournament directors meet at the end of the year, we'll talk about players that are potentials for being bumped up, and then from the way I understand it, the board is who votes on that. Is that correct?
You're correct, and all of that was correct. So if the USTA rating changes, then their classification may change, or, you know, depending on what it is. Definitely with CKTS, their classification will change. You're also correct in that it does begin with a discussion among tournament directors. They've seen the players play, and we all can see the scores and results. And if someone seems to be pretty dominant, you know, at with their game, with their skill, then they need to be promoted. They need to go on and meet a new challenge. You know, as we like to say, sandbagging stinks.
For golf, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, sandbagging's for golf. And we want people to challenge themselves to get better. So it does begin, too, with the tournament directors, as you say, and, you know, they make recommendations, and then the board of directors makes the call on that. So over the years, you know, we've probably averaged 1 to 2 people a year in the existence of the CKTS of people that we promote. And this off season, there's going to be 2 or 3 promotions as well, and they'll be informed of that first by email. The players will, and then that's about it. That's kind of how it works.
Yeah, and obviously that's why we have age divisions. So, you know, the only thing that bumps you in that category is your birthday. But, you know, if you've dominated an event to the point that you won every event, or every event you played, you won, and you didn't have a lot of close scores, unless you're an open, there's a pretty strong chance that you're going to be bumped, because you got to think about all the people that you beat probably are thinking that you should have been in a division higher than you actually played in.
Right, too. And don't try to hide like you play one or two tournaments and then you lay low. I mean, we know how good you are. So we could see you play and we could see your scores. So if we're trying to make it fair for everybody and we're trying to make it challenging for everybody too, and we're really trying to balance things out. But, you know, once you make it to open, win all you want, you know, there's no open. So
super open.
Yeah. By the way, you know, the open winners at the award ceremony a couple Sundays ago, I mean, they got some really nice trophies. I mean, I ordered the trophies and I was jealous. I knew what they were going to look like, and I was helping hand them out, and they're super nice. They're really good awards, and I hope they enjoy those. I hope they're proud of them too, because they're hard earned.
I'll tell you, the one other thing to mention is the hardest players to rate are recent high school graduates who played high school tennis, because most times you're really on the borderline between a B and an open player. And so that's been one that's really been tricky in the past, is, or even players who played in high school and were very competitive, but then took a couple of years off. And as you know, I'm sure as well as I do, that when you're off for a couple of years, you definitely lose it. And so I've found that's usually been the hardest one over the years, is players in high school who were good in high school. If they're like state level high school players, they're probably open. If they're just one of the better players in their region, they're probably going to fall into B. But it's a real, real gray area.
Right. And maybe at first when they've aged out of a division and they test the waters in C or B, and, you know, they sometimes a player quickly understands, hey, I'm ready to move on. Yep. And challenge myself, and we'd like to see that for sure. So, well, believe it or not, time flies, and we're just about to serve out another episode of Game, Set, Match, Kentucky. And I want to thank everybody who's been listening to our podcasts so far since we've started them back in the summer. And definitely, if you've just sampled one or two episodes and you want to subscribe so that you get a feed of when a new episode comes out, then you need to open up your Apple Podcast app on your iPhone, or your Google Podcast app on your Android phone, or if you're a Spotify subscriber, you can find our podcast there. Please give us a review if you've got time too. You can go over to the iTunes store and look up Game, Set, Match, Kentucky, and you can give us a star rating. You can even write a rating. Now, it doesn't have to be an essay with several paragraphs. You can just write one or two sentences like, I really like this podcast. It's pretty cool. Chris doesn't know what he's doing, but Chad bails him out every time. You know, something like that. Or get that Dwayne guy back on there. He was hilarious. You know, something like that. But anyway, by the way, on our last program, we thanked some of our we looked up the statistics on our podcast, and we were thanking our listeners that are in various odd locations, such as not just Kentucky, but, you know, we have listeners in Georgia and Indiana. Shout out to Indiana, Chad.
That's right.
We have listeners, and maybe it's your family, I don't know. So we have listeners in Tennessee, Virginia, and Nevada, and we named all those on the last podcast. We also mentioned that not only are these American listeners, we have listeners in Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
And in the United Kingdom. And again, it's probably an accidental subscription, but, you know, if they're going to listen, then shout out Sweden, shout out UK.
Hey, but we've had some international players in CKTS, so.
That is true. Yeah, can't forget that. But we've got a few new states to mention that I've seen just today in the statistics. Howdy, people in Texas, whoever you are that are listening to this podcast, howdy do. And go Cowboys, go Texans, or whoever you root for out there.
The eyes of Texas are upon us.
Absolutely. We have listeners in Maryland, and maybe they heard about it from their friends in Virginia. I don't know. And we have listeners in Ohio now. So, Our list of state listeners keeps growing, and who knows what's next. Hawaii, Alaska, you name it. You can visit GameSetMatchKY.com for all episodes and show notes and more. Please follow us on Twitter at GameSetMatchKY, and head on over to Facebook and visit our page at Facebook.com/GameSetMatchKY, or you can search for Game Set Match Kentucky, the podcast, and then click the like button and give us a thumbs up there. If you want to sponsor this program, you can send an email to info@GameSetMatchKY.com. Oh no, Chad, there's that sound again. We always know it's coming, and it's always a sound. Oh, it's out. I knew it. Every time it's out. Well, Chad, thanks again for being here. Now, going forward, you may not hear from us for a while, or you may hear from us in the next couple of weeks. It's hard to say. You know, wintertime is really the off season in this part of Kentucky where we don't have any indoor tennis. And we know some of our listeners do, you know, in places like Lexington, Louisville, and et cetera. But, you know, we're kind of on some downtime. But around the corner, high school season will be kicking in. We've got I have some things in mind that we can do on this show, some interviews with some significant people in Kentucky tennis that I've had my eye on maybe talking to. And there's just other things that I'm just going to keep right here in my little notebook, Chad, some little fresh ideas of things that we can possibly do. Or you may not hear from us again until springtime. So who knows? Just do the subscription on iTunes or Spotify or Google Podcasts. Do the subscription, and you'll be pleasantly surprised if, you know, somewhere like Christmas Day we show up in your feed, you know.
There you go.
So until next time, I'm Chris Godby with Chad Young, and this has been Game Set Match Kentucky.